You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Thursday afternoon.
Kind of lovely.
It is lovely.
It's cooler, finally. A little bit of rain, finally.
Well, I left last night and thought I had moved to a much cooler state, like Minnesota.
Just wait.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got today, what is the current temperature? I missed it.
It's probably like 78 degrees right now.
Okay.
It's stunning.
Feels good.
Like that.
And then tomorrow's going to be cool with the rain, and then
currently 76, a high of 77 coming at 4 p.m. tonight. Tomorrow we're looking at rain with a high of 79, low of 74, but I believe that 74 low is going to be in the morning, not in the evening, because on Saturday we return back to a high of 95 and it stays hotter than
thank you, Ryan Busby.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. Truly.
Eighth level of hell.
We have Ryan Lefebvre coming on.
Special guest.
At 2:15.
So there are rules that govern what we do here. Believe it or not, we do have rules. Mm-hmm. And if you missed it, yesterday during this very broadcast, something historic happened right in the middle of a very boring conversation about data centers.
I thought it was a really good conversation, actually. Breaking it down.
One of the most important things happening right now.
Amen to that.
I'm like, I kind of want to just watch the Royals game. And as we're watching, because, you know, Salvi was one away from tying George Brett's 317, during our show, he hits a dinger.
Here's the one strike pitch. Swung on, hit in the air.
Oh!
Deep center field. Number 317.
Ow! I missed it!
And one Royals legend ties another.
And we have a squirrel.
317 home runs.
He did it!
For Salvador Perez, tied with George Brett.
He did it. This is not play-by-play. I'm just stating a fact.
For the Royals' all-time record.
Yeah.
That was simulcasted at the same time, both on 96.5 The Fan and 98.1 KMBZ. Real-time reaction.
One sounded incredibly professional.
Yeah, right?
One sounded like a lunatic.
Don't call Ryan that. Because, look, I called him this morning, and I said, I just want you to know, you are so good at what you do.
Yeah.
But really, in the moment, I would like you to listen to my call of Salvador's historic tying home run record.
Sam, do we have her uninterrupted entire call of Salvador? Yeah. Hang on.
Stall for a moment. Let me grab it.
No, that's fine. While we're talking about it, do we have Ryan Lefebvre's incredibly lunatic fringe call?
He's got to dial it down.
Yeah. Maybe take a broadcasting class. I don't know if he's going to have time.
I asked him this morning, if you want some pointers, would you be willing to come onto the program at 2:15?
Mm-hmm.
Just for a segment.
Right. So he's calling in to get pointers.
Yeah. Ahead of his call tonight, by the way, because they're now in the middle of a 10-game away thing. And so I said, look.
What?
Away thing. So I said, you call
you mean
in.
A road trip?
Yeah, he's on the road.
Okay.
And he is going to join us at 2:15 and talk about that historic call. Also, we will update you on Fountain Guy, who decided to dip in a little bit yesterday when the ball went.
By the way, he gave the ball to the son of his friend who he was at the game with yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy, according to the story in Fox 4, and it's in the stack here somewhere, Fox 4 didn't make it out to sound like that the boy just handed the ball over. It read that the Royals basically took the ball, gave him a bobblehead, a couple other things, but here's a good one, though. A signed bat from Salvador Perez.
Hmm. Yeah. We'll get to that after we talk to Ryan.
That's pretty good. Was it the bat that he used?
No, I don't think so.
We'll get to that after we talk to Ryan, because how do I feel about this?
What would have happened had the ball not gone into the water?
Well, it would have bounced into the stands. Or
somebody
would have caught it.
Would they have swarmed then?
Yes.
To take the ball and
Well, it wasn't the police who would have swarmed, which they did, to arrest the man who got into the fountain. Team personnel, I guarantee you, they had extra Royals personnel in the concourse back there behind all the outfields.
Remember real quick, Scott, we talked to the fan who caught one of these significant home run balls a couple of years ago, one of the big ones. And it wasn't like a Mark McGwire, but it was somewhere in that wheelhouse.
Who was that?
And he said when he, from Kansas City area, when he caught it, the staff swarmed in. He said, my feet didn't even touch the ground. They carried me onto a golf cart that then went directly under this tunnel, under the ground, under the stadium.
I remember that.
Wherever they were, New York or wherever it was. And he said they brought in a black light immediately. They put the black light over the ball.
There's markings of numbers on the ball.
Yeah.
And they know which ball is being handed to the catcher and then thrown back out to the pitcher. They know the number or the marking on each ball. And then they can determine if that is an authentic ball that you're looking for. Yes.
So I have a feeling with this ball, they would have probably just asked if someone had caught the ball.
Or they would say,
hey, could Salvi have this?
Can we take that to authenticate it for you? And then
we'll give it back. Because that would be honest. From a monetary standpoint, you guys, that ball is not worth millions of dollars. Like, it's just not.
All right. I have done my magic. I have separated the calls. Who would we like to hear first?
I'd like to hear the professional deliver. By that, I mean Ryan Lefevre.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I will do the professional first.
Okay, please do.
Oh!
Nope.
Oh! I missed it!
And we have a squirrel.
He did it! He did it. This is not play-by-play. I'm just stating a fact. He did it.
Well, if you say what he did right now, because it just happened, I do think that qualifies as play-by-play.
I'm just saying, if you happen to tune in to listen, oh my gosh, to Ryan Lefevre, can we just go to this?
Okay. Now, when Lefevre calls in, I want you to air his, I want Dana's kind of catch him off guard.
Ryan actually sent me his version of what happened yesterday.
Here's the one strike pitch. Swung on, hit in the air. Deep center field and gone! Salvador Perez, number 317. And one Royals legend ties another. .317 home runs for Salvador Perez, tied with George Brett for the Royals' all-time record.
You know, Ryan,
amateur.
I have two words for Ryan Lefevre. Be better. Just be better. That was terrible.
I did dig a little bit deeper because I wrote up a story about it for this morning. And what makes Salvi's really incredible, and I don't know if the length of the baseball season has changed since 1993.
Yeah,
it may have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The metrics do from time to time.
George Brett got 317 in 21 seasons. Mm. Salvi's only on his 15th playing season.
Phenomenal.
At 317.
And is a catcher, which statistically, those are not the players that shatter the records.
Pretty awesome.
Can we hear from Salvi, Sam, if you go into the Dana and Parks folder? Yep. They said to Salvi right after the game, did you hear a guy went to jail who caught the ball? And you're going to hear Salvi say to the police, please let him go.
A fan jumped in the fountains and left in handcuffs trying to get your ball today.
Please. Just take care of the jail, please. Okay? And send him home. If I was saying, I maybe jump too. And try to get that ball, so please. And thank you for the hard work and try to get that ball.
You use a blame.
I don't get it yet. We got to see.
I think they got it back. Oh, you
got it back?
To you, yeah.
I hear that he threw it to somebody, to his friend or something like that.
I think they took it from
him. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So.
Okay, all right. We've got Ryan Lefevre on the hotline. We will get to him in just a moment. We will compare two calls.
I mean, there's really no comparison.
Two radio broadcasts that occurred at the exact same time. One was great. Great. The other was Ryan Lefevre's. And we'll get with Ryan in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. A Royals record was tied yesterday. And who knows, could be broken possibly tonight or in the next few days. Salvador Perez, if you were listening yesterday, because Dana had a brilliant play-by-play call on it, tied George Brett's home run record with 317. And the other guy who called that game, Ryan LaFever, is joining us on the KMBZ hotline. Ryan, good afternoon and hello.
Good afternoon, guys.
What an exciting moment for our town.
Your call or the actual home run?
Well, really all of it, Ryan, if we were going to break it down, which we don't need to do. I just want to say, like, did you know this was coming yesterday? I did, to the point that I reached out to Scott yesterday and said, can we get Ryan on? And he said, they're in pregame. I just thought it was going to be yesterday.
Yeah. I was hoping at least one of the two would be at home, either tying it or breaking it. He had a chance to break it. He still had one more at bat after he tied it. It'll be much different on the road. We'll have to generate most of the excitement on the road if he breaks it on the road, because there'll be no reaction from the crowd. But either way, it's going to be a great achievement for him.
Well, speaking of excitement, Ryan, what we decided to do, because we kind of thought your call was rather pedestrian.
Like the other ones?
Yeah. And so what we decided to do was spice it up a little bit. Do you have time to hear that?
Sure. All right. Absolutely. And, for you too.
Yeah,
of course.
And maybe take some notes or a tip from what we did. And when he breaks the record and makes 318, you can add some of this to your call on the broadcast.
Here's the one strike pitch. Swung on, hit in the air.
Oh!
Deep center field. And gone!
Oh!
Salvador Perez, number 317. And one Royals legend ties another.
And we have a squirrel.
317 home runs.
He did it!
For Salvador Perez, tied with George Brett.
He did it. This is not play-by-play. I'm just stating a fact.
For the Royals' all-time record.
Now, Ryan, I just, as a fellow broadcaster. As a fellow broadcaster.
I don't know why I'm showing my age, but you two will be able to relate. All I could think of was peaches and Herb
yes.
the whole time I was listening to that call.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I would never, ever want to replace HUD or any of them. You guys are all just brilliant, but they're always so worried when something happens in here and I start getting excited that we're going to be sued because of those words you always say, that any, you know, rebroadcast of this without explicit permission from the Royals, that they thought that what I was doing was illegal.
Well, I guess you were not allowed to play the television broadcast, but why couldn't you reacted to the radio broadcast? I mean, we're all owned by the same company.
Right.
That is true. But what's left out of Dana's recount of what happened yesterday, or recollection of what happened yesterday, is her telling Sam, go to the TV broadcast right now. Go to the TV broadcast. To which I said, we can't do that. And Dana said, oh, who cares? And I said, Sam and I care.
I actually listened to it. Dana sent it to me this morning. And that's what set up this whole conversation today. And she told me exactly where to go to. So I listened to it. And it was great.
Are you suing me?
I can't sue you. Why would I want to sue you? Can you imagine what you could do to me on the radio for a whole year if I tried to sue you?
Truly, Ryan, it was a brilliant call.
It was.
I mean, I think you will agree. And
She's talking about herself right now.
I was happy to be a part of it.
You will forever go down in Royals history.
Thank you. That's all I wanted you to say.
Think of how many people are big Royals fans, but they chose to listen to you yesterday, and they will remember where they were when Salvi tied the record.
And Ryan, just so that you know, the reaction from the audience, from the text line, to be honest, Dana, I thought that you had just been stung by a flock of wasps.
Yeah.
Ryan, could you tell us a little bit, because you're so close with Salvi and all of those guys, truly, like, all kidding aside, what does this mean when he surpasses it? And even be like, you know, George, like, records are meant to be broken. I think everyone's excited about this, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, two great players. I mean, sometimes we make the mistake of, you know, pre-planning what we're going to say and it never comes out good. I mean, I think just the first thing that pops into our heads is, you know, the best way to go. And as I was, you know, as I was thinking about in my mind, like what that meant, that home run, and that's where, you know, one Royals legend ties another. And it's like, he's a Royals legend now. And it's hard to feel that when they're still playing. But I think that the greatest accomplishment for Salvi tying this record is, first of all, you have to be a really good player, which he is. And in this day and age, you don't see guys stick with a team for 15 years, and especially in a small market. Mm-hmm. So that's the part that I think we need to appreciate about Salvi, is that he is a really good player. He's a great human being. He's happy every day. He loves baseball. Players forever that have played with him will talk about Salvador Perez and what he's meant. But I think where our gratitude comes in is that he chose to stay with us all of these years to get to this point.
Yeah.
You know, and you were talking about him as just a human being. I am still in love with the story, and it didn't even happen on the field of play, where he is driving through a neighborhood and sees a bunch of kids, little kids, playing a pickup baseball game, and he pulls over and plays with them.
Right, and didn't bring his own camera crew so that someone would record it and he'd be promoting himself. I mean, the video we saw was from one of the parents of the kids, right? I mean, so if the parents weren't home that day, I mean, Salvi would have gone and played wiffle ball, and there would have been no proof that he did it, and that's not why he did it, and that's him. I mean, the guy loves to play baseball. And I remember a few years ago, he was coming back from his thumb surgery, and Pedro Grifol was our bench coach and our catching coach. And he was out there working out Salvi, who was coming back much sooner than we thought. He was way ahead of schedule from surgery on his thumb. And Pedro said something about Salvi that I'll never forget. And he said, Salvador Perez is the very rare star player who realizes that this will come to an end someday. And so he knows that, and so he plays as if, you know, this is not going to last forever.
How soon after he retires, Ryan, does a statue go up in his honor?
not long. And I mean, he's going into the Royals Hall of Fame as soon as he's eligible. I think we all believe he's going to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame as soon as he's eligible. Yeah, but as far as statues go, it certainly will be in the new ballpark.
And then, you know, they're on a 10-game away stretch right now. It is very likely the record is broken away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. And we can't time that, right? Can they bench him for 10 games?
Well, I mean, George Brett got his 3,000th hit on the road, and there was not a very big crowd. But we're all going to remember that highlight, and we're going to remember Fred White calling it. I mean, so in the moment, yeah, I wish we were home just so the crowd could, you know, show their appreciation. But I was just hoping he would do at least one of the two at home, either tie it or break it at home. And it won't be as special because we won't have the roar of the crowd. The place will probably go silent if he hits a home run. But one thing I learned from what happened yesterday, as I prepare myself for when he hits it, is, you know, as soon as I say home run and he's hit 318, I'll probably lay out and then begin a discussion with HUD about the energy that's required to open an AI data center in Kansas.
Yeah. Right after the call, Ryan, you and HUD are going to have the call. And when you said you don't try to think about it too much, just do the first thing that pops, Sam, into your head.
Yeah, so it'll go full circle, right? Because isn't that what you were talking about?
Yes.
When the Salvi home run hit? Yeah, so it'll go full circle. You were talking about energy required to fuel an AI data center. Mm-hmm. Salvi hits a home run.
Oh,
from my point of view, Salvi hits a home run, and then we need to talk about the power needed for an AI data center.
I think that would be a brilliant broadcast. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, do you know, is he in the lineup for tonight? Have they yes. released that yet?
He's batting fourth, and he's the DH. So he, you know, he's been batting lower in the order, but this gives him a chance to have more at-bats. And you know what? I will say this. If he hits it here in Detroit, there will be a special meaning to that because he hit his first major league home run here.
Oh,
really?
15 years ago. Yeah. So August of 2011, he hit his first home run here against Max Scherzer, who's still pitching. You got these guys that are both still playing. So that would be a neat little twist to it if he does hit it here in Detroit. And we're here for four games.
Oh, okay. I love the history of that.
And
thank
first
you,
pitch
Ryan.
Is 5:40, is that right?
5:40 your time, yes.
Okay, so you're saying there's a chance this could happen while we're on the air.
He's going pretty good. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I look forward to handling the call with you again, my friend.
Yeah, that's good. And if it does happen again, then I expect to be on the next day and we'll compare calls again.
Absolutely.
I just want you to think of me, Ryan. And if you could just muster when it happens, I think that'd be great.
I'll rely on HUD to provide those sounds.
That's a good plan.
Hey, be well. Have a great call tonight.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you.
All right, you take care. Well. That is Ryan Lefevre, the voice of the Kansas City Royals. Has been a point of contention since the digital age entered mainstream culture. From the World Wide Web to the Patriot Act to the Snowden leaks to the rapidly growing big data era and beyond, debates over technology and its capacity to help or harm the public have been recurring topics in political debate and pop culture. In more recent years, tracking and data sharing have been discussed through the lens of social media applications, algorithms, and predatory marketing tactics. And they go on to talk about flock safety. Now, you probably have heard of this. Mm-hmm. Flock is a public safety technology company that uses their technology. Cities and states and other law enforcement agencies buy the Flock technology to basically track where certain license plates are. Not certain, all license plates are. Go ahead,
Sarah. In real time. And before we get started, another Georgia officer this week, I think that's two, has been arrested over looking up the Flock cameras, not for investigative purposes, but to spy on whoever he wanted to spy on. It just keeps happening. Mm-hmm. And
unless I'm mistaken, it's even worse, because them buying the cameras would be one thing. They're just contracting with the company.
Well, why is that worse?
Well, because
now they have complete and total control over basically every single camera angle in the city, and they can do whatever they want with it. Oh, they're just contracted with the police department to provide them that data.
Got it.
So I have several good friends in law enforcement, and you know, almost to a one, they love the Flock cameras, because when the you know what hits the fan, mm-hmm. and you have to find someone quickly, it is very, very helpful. If you have an axe murderer on the run, or someone has been kidnapped, it is very, very helpful in tracking that person down, right? When time is of the essence, why can't we just have some system of these cameras? Okay, you don't have a right to privacy on public street. I get it. But with massive checks and balances, so the psychotic ex-husband or wife that has open access to this can't look up where their former spouse is going out to have a drink with somebody. Like, we just keep seeing this happen. And so for every police officer who says these cameras are great, I push back with, then why can't we have checks and balances?
And what would the check be?
Well, we've talked about this. The problem in some of these cases, it was the police chief that was arrested for looking up his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
But you could say, well, you want the upper brass to be able to balance and check this. Well, in some of the cases, it's long-term, it's lieutenants, it's captains, it's, you know.
What is the difference, and I'll have to go to Sam on this one, between the Flock system and these license plate readers that we were hearing about, or are they the same?
They're one and the same. The only difference is so the city of Overland Park already has a very intricate system. If you walk into the Overland Park Police Department, you will see an entire wall of computer screens that show you two different angles of every single intersection. Those were sold as license plate readers. Flock is just a private company doing the same thing. So instead of KCPD having to fund and go out and put up, you know, 1,400 cameras or whatever, arbitrary number, Flock will say, hey, we will spearhead the cost here, and you can just buy the data from us.
So let me play both sides of the coin on this
one. Oh, yeah.
All right. some would say, wait a minute, don't I have the right to travel wherever I want without Big Brother looking over my shoulder?
That someone is me.
And that ship sailed a long time ago.
Okay, but I have the right to not be at my home. I have the right, if I choose, to have an affair and my spouse not know where I am. Now, is that ethical? No, it's not. But do you have that right?
Yes, you have the right in a free society to roam about freely.
Now, some would argue, though, the other side of that coin, driving is a privilege. It is not a right. You don't have the right to drive your car. It's a privilege given to you by the state. Right. Hence, you have a driver's license, which can be revoked by the state.
What if you are using public streets to go, I don't want to bring politics into this, but there are certain places you could go that would be controversial to some. And those, while they exist on public streets, are private entities. I don't necessarily need the government knowing that I went to go see my gynecologist today, Scott. And you might say, well, there's not going to be a police officer that looks you up. Okay, maybe not. But why does this keep happening? The headline is always the same. Officer in trouble for accessing cameras for reasons completely aside from any public duty.
And do we not have a protection from a warrantless search?
Great point. Let's bring in our good friend of the program, Mark Terman, former captain with the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Dina.
Your thoughts?
Well, you can jump off the bridge and go down that rabbit hole. But let me tell you what the reality is. The reality is that the way the cameras are being used right now throughout the country overall is to gather information based on suspect type information. So it's not based on the average person driving around. It's not tracking that. What it will track is if somebody, if there's a car, for example, that's been involved in a shooting, we have a description and driver's license or a driver's plate, that is what the cameras will be looking for. All of a sudden they're looking at a black car, whatever license plate, and in an area. And that's what it's paying attention to. It's not tracking, collating what the average people are doing. It's just not doing that. It doesn't have the bandwidth. It doesn't have the, there's no desire to do that. So the point that you're rolling back to about officers doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, there are 860,000 officers throughout the U.S.
Yep.
And they're still people and mistakes occur. And the trouble is with social media and the way everything's going right now is that this stuff gets blown way out of proportion. And I can tell you, after all the years that I've been in, we've had officers that get themselves in trouble because they will, an ex-girlfriend will be with somebody else and they run the license plate in the computer to find out who now the ex-girlfriend is with. And people have gotten fired for that over the years. It happens. It happens, you know. It just happens. It's people.
Okay, so then wait, Mark, I'm going to stop you right there. 860,000 officers in the U.S. Let's say so far 100 of those 860,000 officers have looked up this system for personal use.
Well, first of all, I don't think there's that many.
Wait, meet me halfway and at least just acknowledge that cameras are good, .. But we need to have some system of checks and balances so that the person in the property room working, there are certain officers, even you would agree, Mark, that would never have any reason to look into these cameras. Right now, it is just open access. Can you not at least agree with me that it shouldn't be that way?
It's not open access, though.
How?
It's not. Because you have to be, you have a special number that identifies you to sign into the system to see the system, and you have to be authorized. So there are authorizations that you have to go through already. I don't know the position that those officers were in when they're looking at it. But quite frankly, there are private companies that are using the Flock system that have way less controls than city departments do.
Explain and that. What private entities?
So, like Target, for example, and I'm not saying Target for sure, but I'm saying there are large corporations like a Target, like a Walmart, okay, that are using these systems that have access to the basic information. Just like when you walk into any store, your phone is pinging, and the store is getting a ping from your phone,
yeah,
and that is, it's creating, you have an identity that is being tracked by private.
But Mark, the difference would
everywhere.
Be, and I think you understand this, of course, is that Target is a static brick and mortar, or Walmart or whatever. And if they know that my license plate is on their property, okay. But it's different with police who can then watch you in real time traveling from point A to B to C in a way that a Walmart or a Target's not going to be able to do.
Theoretically, they can, but you've got to have the reasoning and the authorization to do so. So, like I said, if you were a suspect in some sort of violent crime, they'd have a reason to track you or to find you. And then go from there, because it's not a simple ordeal of just opening up the computer and say, you put that in there and away you go. It's a lot more complicated, and there are a lot more controls than you'd ever imagine. The keep in mind, the PDs really are under stringent view from the feds to state controls, and then you have individual department controls. So there are a lot of controls. The license plates are a good example. The information on the license plate, you could go to any sort of license bureau, and theoretically they could pull up any license plate, say in the state of Kansas, you go to the Department of Revenue, pull up, go to the place where you get your license plate, you could pull up the license plate and get all the information on that individual. Do people abuse it from time to time? Absolutely. Are those people terminated? You betcha. Police departments are the same way. They can go in there, but you have to have specific identifiers. You have to identify yourself, and then you have to have a purpose for it.
But Mark, if I was a ne'er-do-well and I just committed a crime in a public place, and it was likely that somebody got at least a partial read on my license plate, what would prevent me as a ne'er-do-well from just stealing somebody else's license plate or covering my license plate with something? Would that make it unable to be read?
So, great question.
Thank you.
And what that does do, yes, if they cover the license plate, you can't read it. You know, they don't have X-ray vision. Okay. But if there's an officer outside doing their job and they see somebody with a covered-up license plate, that is cause for a stop. That's a violation of the law. In the partial license plate example, again, if they're intentionally covering up the license plate, they can be stopped. And people do that. I think there was a case out of Florida, I want to say, where I was on Dateline, where the guy had committed a murder and had changed his license plates. Well, the funny thing was is that they caught the one license plate, and they were able to track down through video in the neighborhood of the guy changing his license plate back to his real life. He had a stolen license plate that he put on the car, committed the crime, and then he drove to an area he didn't know. The private business had a camera system, and they caught him changing the license plate back, and that's how they...
Mark, we're against a break. Can you stick around just for one more quick segment? Because in the Carolina case where these officers were caught doing what they were doing, mm-hmm, yes, the officer has to log in, and yes, the officer has to give a reason that they are searching. One of the fired officers just lied about the reason and imported welfare check or city planning or alcohol offenses when he was really looking up an ex-spouse.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ. We were talking about this story from Fox 4 about the Flock camera system, which can read license plates. It is being used by 6,000 different communities across the United States, by 5,000 different law enforcement agencies, and former Kansas City, Missouri police captain Mark Turman, kind enough to stick around. He joins us on the KMZ hotline.
So,
I'm just uncomfortable with the access, Mark, and all of it. I'm uncomfortable with the access for private employers. I'm uncomfortable with the, I think, need for more robust checks and balances. Because is it a one-off here and there when someone is snooping into that system to spy on somebody? Yes, I believe that it is a one-off here and there. But you also have practices like in an evidence room, so that if you have someone who works with the police department with addiction issues, they can't just roam into the evidence room. Like, I'm just saying, like, can't we all agree that we should put more stringent checks and balances on it? I'm not even going all the way to say a warrant. If I've been kidnapped and someone shoves me in a trunk, I want you to find me right now.
Right.
But outside of that, outside of urgent, like, think of the police chase policy. Urgent, life is in danger. I don't like the access.
I would argue that they need to all be warrant driven, with the few exceptions for Amber Alerts, things like that.
But let me ask you this, Mark, and anybody else can chime in, please. What would prevent, because Sam pointed out that Flock is the contractor here. They contract out their services to predominantly law enforcement agencies and other communities. What would prevent Flock from turning down an offer from say the Democratic Party or the Republican Party? They want to monitor who's showing up at protests, and they're willing to pay top dollar.
Yeah, or strip clubs, whatever.
Right. Yeah, great. Opposition research firms.
You know, it's. I think it's a legitimate question on the one hand. On the other hand, I don't believe it's real because of the liability Flock would incur in a situation like that. What would stop them? I think that's where we get into the discussion. And I think really what you're kind of going around the circle right now is this whole discussion of how much of AI should we restrict in general through legislation. And I think that's probably the larger question, and getting back to our data and how much do we own, how much do we not own, how much do we give up. And it's similar to this whole idea, and I'm not jumping totally off course, stay with me. They were on Facebook for a while, they're running around, "I do not give permission, yada, for Facebook to use whatever." That was running around, and that's been a false rumor. When you use the product, you give them permission, and, you know, saying whatever, "I don't give permission," yeah, it doesn't work that way. So this question then kind of rolling back to, because it's still our data, in our faces, our data, everything that we have is our data. How much do we have the ability to keep private from anybody? And I think that's a really good question. And I don't think that's been solved yet. And I think that's totally up in the air because, as you know, private business has been collecting our data. They know more about us than the government does.
Does not make me feel any better. But that does not make me feel any better. It makes me feel worse.
Mark, we got to run. Do appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you for it. News coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Hey, if you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. News is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.